As the military opens more key roles to women, there is one glaring problem, and that's the pipeline. Military academies don't have a lot of female students. West Point has struggled more than the others, but change is on the horizon. Of the nearly 1,200 cadet candidates reporting next week, 22% will be women, and that's a record number. Colonel Deborah McDonald is Director of Admissions at West Point, and she joins us now. Colonel McDonald, thanks for being with us.
Oh, good morning.
So tell us about the women who will be in the class of 2018. Where do they come from, and what are you looking for?
Well, actually, we have women from every state in the United States, and we also have two international students that are coming in that are women. This year, we have 263 women that we expect to enter next Wednesday on our reception day, which brings us to just about 22% of our class. And it's not only the largest number of women that are entering the academy at any time in history, but it's also the largest percentage. And the last large class that we had was the class that just recently graduated, the class of 2014, where we had 246 women enter that class, but it was a much larger class, and that only comprised about 18% of the student body. So we've been at about 17 to 18% in the West Point Corps Cadets for Women, and this year our superintendent, Lieutenant General Caslin, had asked for me to increase the number of women, and we were able to go out and do that through some innovative marketing efforts and outreach efforts and bring that up to 22%.
We want to know about those efforts, and they seem to be successful, but first, do you know how that 22% compares with the other military academies?
It's actually on par with the Naval Academy and the Air Force Academy. They're right around 23. I think Air Force Academy might have 24%. The Coast Guard Academy actually has the highest percentage of women of any of the service academies, and they have close to 50% coming in into the Coast Guard Academy. And then the Merchant Marine Academy has probably one of the smallest numbers, but again, that's a very small school, and I think they have about 12 to 14%.
Now, it's safe to say that when you enter West Point, you're not going to have the same experience you might have as a freshman at standard universities. And so what kind of, you mentioned innovative marketing techniques, what did you do to try to expand the roster here?
Well, it's interesting because it didn't just initiate this year, even though we did do a marketing brochure for the very first time designed to inspire women to consider West Point as a college option. Air Force and Navy had been doing that for quite a number of years, but this is the first year that we actually sent out this marketing mailing to prospective candidates. But in the last 3 or 4 years, we've been doing some early outreach efforts to 7th, 8th, and 9th grade students, especially for science, technology, engineering, and math, our STEM programs, and we bring them up to West Point, both boys and girls in their middle school years, to have them consider not only college as an option, but a service academy. And so then that sort of 3 or 4 years down the road, we're beginning to see that fruition come forth.
Because you have to convince them not just of the different college, or the alternative college, but also the Army itself.
That's right. Well, it's a challenge because we like to say that making a decision to come to West Point is different than making a decision to go to college. It really is a unique experience for any of the service academies because you enter in early July. It's not that the fall semester doesn't start in September. It actually begins in July, and that we have a intense basic training where the students learn how to be military personnel. They learn how to be part of a team, and then the academic year begins in August. And then it becomes very similar to other colleges and universities in the academic realm, but it's still in the framework of a military environment. And just to go back to some of the other outreach efforts or some of the new changes, this year we also announced women's lacrosse would be one of our varsity sports. We had not had that as one of our varsity sports, and that was announced in the spring. We've just hired a new lacrosse coach, and her first recruiting year will be this year, but there was a great excitement from young women that had not considered West Point as an option because they wanted to go to college, they wanted to serve in the military, but they also wanted to play lacrosse. And so then that's been a new revived interest. And we have other athletic teams as well across the board, but lacrosse was a unique outreach effort for us to inspire a different group of young ladies to consider West Point.
We're speaking with Colonel Deborah McDonald. She's Director of Admissions at the West Point Military Academy, and we're talking about the record number of female students that are coming next week. So all of what you're saying leads me to ask, what did your marketing research tell you were reasons why female teenagers would choose West Point and reasons why they were staying away?
Well, our marketing research indicated that women are most inspired by scholarship, by the venue of having a great academic experience. And it's interesting that Forbes magazine back in 2009, now granted that's 5 years ago, but it's interesting to see the growth from that. Their first cover article for college, competitive colleges, their first cover story was West Point was number one. Their tagline was how West Point beats Harvard. And so that's 5 years of, even though it's not every year that West Point was the number one selected school, but that definitely resonated with not only the parents of the young ladies considering college, but also with the young women themselves. And so then that's now West Point, even though anyone who's affiliated with the service academies understand the academic excellence and the rigor of their programs, it sort of now is mainstream and accepted that, yes, you will get a incredible academic experience at any of the service academies. And I think that sort of inspirational piece has really opened up the inspiration for a lot of young women. We actually, this year, we had over 15,000 applications for the academy. The number of men who applied went down, but the number of women who applied actually increased. And I think that we're seeing that also because of the intense desire for a strong academic program.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you also need a congressional endorsement from your district to get to West Point. How did you talk to Congress about this also?
Yes, we actually did reach out to all of the nominating members. And so there's a different, there's a variety of different sources of nominations. We have the congressional nominations that come from the congressional representative and also the senators and the vice president. But then we also have service-connected nominations. So sons and daughters of career military soldiers themselves, if they're in the military, can receive a nomination that's not congressionally nominated. And we also have anyone who's in an ROTC program, either at a college or in a high school, a junior ROTC, we have nominations, all covered by Title X and the legislation. So there's a lot of sources of nominations, and we just make sure that the candidates understand that and also the members that are can make those nominations understand the intense desire for us to increase our diversity within the Corps.
And it seems like in order to do that, you've also got to reach beyond those circles of people who might be connected to the politicians or might be connected to the military already and reach those who come from families who perhaps have never considered this. How have you done that?
Well, and that's interesting because when you look at the all-volunteer force, we've been an all-volunteer force for 40 years almost. So there's quite a number of families in America that do not have a direct family member that has ever served in the military. They might have grandparents that may have served. And so what we do is we actually go out to the schools across the country. We reach out to the influencers, the educators. We reach out to the clergy. We reach out to students and just talk to them at college fairs. We visit their schools. And we just give them sort of a menu of college options and include West Point as one of the entree items really to choose from. So if they are intrigued with service to the nation and intrigued with the academic program that we have to offer and the leadership training and the ability to serve within the military and lead and change and be part of the change in the nation, then if that inspires them, then the Service Academy or West Point may be one of their college options.
And, of course, to get into a military academy, you've got to, as you say, survive that first initial period, which not everybody does. And so do you have special programs to make sure that the women not so much change the standards, but have ways to make sure that they can stick with the program and make it to the academic start?
Absolutely. In fact, when we bring all the students in on reception day next Wednesday, then they all receive a physical, what we call the Army physical fitness test, either Thursday or Friday. So we actually assess where they are in their physical development. And then we will actually compartmentalize them based on their physical fitness ability at that time, not gender-based, but just someone, say a young lady can run a six-minute mile. She'll be in the fast group of the running team along there with anyone else who can run a six-minute mile or faster. And then someone who may not be as athletically advanced at that time may be in a smaller or a slower running group. But the whole focus is to develop them physically and encourage them and build that teamwork and that cohesion so that they will actually complete the cadet basic training. And we found in the last really 10 years that we've had very low attrition rates over our summer training, whereas 20 years ago it was not unusual to see 10 to 15% drop out in the summer. Now we're seeing less than 1% drop out during the summer, and it's really a bonding, cohesive program, and then they matriculate into the academic year, and then some of the big challenges really start because they're focused with the college curriculum, 18, 22 credit hours in their freshman year in college.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the retention of female students. Are you keeping track of that, and how are they doing?
We are. We keep track of the retention. The retention overall of both men and women is about 81% composite across the board. Women will retain just slightly less than that, at about 79%. So it's just a slight drop off in the retention for women versus the men. And it'll be interesting to see with this larger percentage in the class of 2018 if we'll actually see an increase in the retention. We have seen over since the first women were admitted in 1980, with the class of 1980, we've actually seen the retention of women increase over that period of time. So it'll be interesting to see in the next 4 years how this larger cohort of number of women coming into the class, if that will actually impact on an increased retention for them as well.
So do you see a future female chief of staff maybe of the Army?
I think everything's open. The Army has eliminated the combat exclusion policy and has opened up all jobs and positions to women, which was not always available. And in fact, 2016 will be when all of those positions are available to women. So there's really no reason why a woman could not rise to that level.
Colonel Deborah McDonald is Director of Admissions at West Point Military Academy. Colonel, thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, and you have a great day.